had a great time last week with Abner.
Yes.
Yeah.
One of Abner's things, his messages that he talked about was intimacy. I don't know if you picked that up. What the Lord was doing here tonight was bringing us closer to him. And that's what we're talking about. Growing in the prophetic. Luke 2:52 is a powerful verse. And this is a verse that has really messed me up and it's really provoked me. It said, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus, the Son of God, had to increase in favor with God. Grab a hold of that with your mind. Jesus had to increase in favor with his Father. If Jesus did, how much more so do we? There is a progression. There is a growing. Not only just in the gift of the prophetic, being able to prophesy accurately, but there's a growing in favor. If God can trust you with a small thing, he can trust you with a big thing. But he has to be able to trust you with a small thing first. You grow in favor. If he's going to give you a word for a nation, he has to be able to trust you that he can give you the word for the person sitting next to you. And you will obey and deliver the word as he tells you to. And not, oh, I'm so scared. What if they don't receive it? We have to get over ourselves and walk in obedience so we can grow in favor. This verse has always provoked me, and that's kind of what we're talking about, growing in the prophetic. From this point, how do we keep going and how do we keep going? I always get that question asked, how do you grow? How do you get better in the prophetic? How do you grow in the prophetic? Actually, the question is the wrong question. The Bible tells us to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, but Ephesians 4:15 says to grow up in all aspects of him. As we grow in the prophetic, we're growing in all aspects of Christ. Your ability to prophesy will come out of a natural relationship with him. Out of that drawing, out of that increased relationship, your ability to hear his voice will just come up within you. There's three types of prophetic anointing, and I just want to break these out. The first one is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy is defined as you're really not able to prophesy on your own yet because you don't know how, but you need help from other people. Now, when we do the activations here, we've been doing a lot of the group activations. And I was doing that for a specific reason, to not put you on the spot by yourself, but to so that group, that spirit of prophecy would be activated. The spirit of prophecy. The Lord told me as we started this class, these classes, that a spirit of prophecy would be released in here. When we break up into activations, walking around in groups, every single person here has prophesied. Saul, before he was king, he walked into the company of the prophets. He became prophesied. And Samuel, that's the spirit of prophecy. He walked into a spirit of prophecy. When you're doing prophetic schools, spirit of prophecy is awesome. It helps. Okay? A gift of prophecy is kind of like the next step up. It's the next level. We don't always have a spirit of prophecy present. The gift of prophecy, though, is something that is given to us that we can stir up. You can be in a noisy situation. You can be at a store and people are clanging at the cash register. There's no worship going on. There's no anointing. But you can learn to quiet yourself wherever you're at and draw into the well of the Holy Spirit that is within you and stir up the gift of prophecy. That's something that you learn to do. it talks in the Bible about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. All right? Who knows what is the best gift? It's the gift you need at that moment is the best gift. Every gift of the Holy Spirit is available to you. It's yours. Any believer can operate in any gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At any time. We learn how to do it, though. When Jesus released the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he said on a cross, he said, "It is finished." It was finished. He released the same Holy Spirit that was within him. And everything that Jesus operated in, we can operate in.
Thank you.
As I said before, it's not as much imparting, even though there's impartation's powerful, and I believe in impartation. But there is a prophetic gift within each one of you, because you are your Father's son and your Father's daughter.
Yeah.
Abba Father. And you can hear His voice. And the Holy Spirit that is within you, He's always speaking. And it's the learning how to cooperate, to get into the flow, and to operate in that gift. We awaken the gifts. The better within you. Part of the teaching is learning to stir up that prophetic gift. We learn. I have learned to stir it up. When you learn how to stir it up, you can go into any room, walk up to anyone, and prophesy over that person at any time. Well, how can that be? What if the Lord doesn't have a word for him? I promise you, the Lord has a word for that person. There is something in every individual's life that God desires to speak to them. And He wants to use you to do it. Part of training is learning to quiet ourselves and to stir up the gift. To tap into that, that inner flow of the Holy Spirit within you and just speak. Faith is the first step. Is that, yes, the gift is within you. It's there, guys. And then take the risk to step out and do it. So we have the spirit of prophecy. We have the gift of prophecy. And the highest office is the office of the prophet. Now, the office of the prophet comes out of Ephesians 4:11. And they're gifts that are given to the church. The office of the prophet is a calling. God calls people into those offices. Personally, I don't believe I'm a prophet. I don't believe that is the office I walk in. But I can prophesy over every person in the room. Having the gift of prophecy does not make you a prophet. When you get around prophets, it's different.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell. When I was sitting in Bob Jones's house, I felt like I was in my underwear. I felt like he could see everything I had. You know, I was like, oh my gosh. You know, when you walk in, he said, "I had a dream about you last night." I'm going, "Oh dear God, I'm in Bob Jones's house." We had Jim here, Jim Jurgensen here the other week. He's a prophet.
Yes, yeah. Mm.
There is an authority. There's a mantle that a prophet carries. And it's powerful. Just because a person who is called as a prophet has to grow in favor. Paul talked about he was an apostle to the Gentiles, but he was not an apostle to the Jews. Why? Because the Jews did not receive him. He did not have favor with the Jews as an apostle. If you're a prophet, you may not be a prophet to everyone because you're not received as a prophet. Usually, you start operating in the office of the prophet as the favor of God comes upon you. There's a saying that the anointing makes room for you. The anointing of God within you will make room. When you start to operate in that powerful gift, that accurate prophetic gift, and people start to see that, and people start to recognize that, they will recognize you as a prophet. That usually works that way. And as you grow in favor with men, and you're obedient in the small things, you're growing in favor with God. And that's how your stature as a prophet increases and as it comes forth. A prophet, if anyone, you know, we talked about to not bring a negative words. Would like everyone to stay away from that. If you're called as a prophet, I do believe you can do that to a certain extent. But you do it in a way that does not hurt people. You know, I mean, I've met immature prophets. And prophets that are hurt and wounded and minister from a wounded spirit. That's why we believe in sozo, inner healing. Because we want to minister from a spirit that's filled with love. We want to minister from a spirit that's healed. And as we do that, the love of Christ will just be all over them. So, those three types of prophetic anointings, I just need you to understand that. The spirit of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and the office of a prophet. There's a verse out of Jeremiah 1:5, which is really good in showing other ways to grow in the prophetic. It said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you as a prophet to the nations." There's three steps in there. Knowing, consecration, and appointment. Knowing God says that God, these three steps are important as we take our walk. The key to successful prophetic ministry is being a friend of God. Is knowing God. It's that intimate relationship with Him. The mark of a good prophet or a person operating in a high level of prophetic anointing should be intimacy with the Lord. The Word says that God calls His friends and shares His secrets with them. Wouldn't you like to be a friend of God that He shares His secrets with? That is totally our choice, because those secrets are reserved for ones that pursue God in intimacy. I would rather be a friend of God than anything else. I would rather be a friend of God than have an accurate prophetic gift. But the thing is I don't have to choose, because that accurate prophetic gift will flow out of that relationship of being His friend. Because He will be overwhelmed with joy as He whispers His secrets into your heart, into your ears. All throughout the Bible, it's our identity. And I know you've heard this message before about the identity. We do not serve God. We co-labor with Christ. We serve people. We co-labor with God. We are an heir. We are a son. And we are a bride. Girls are sons and guys are brides. Get over it. The Bible says to eagerly desire spiritual gifts, which we should. But more than that, we need to eagerly desire Him. It says that He will grant the desires of your heart because He has placed those desires within your heart. So look inside your heart. What is burning? That is a desire. That, go after that. But go after that with intimacy. Go after that with love. It'll change everything. God used to speak to Moses face to face like a friend. He does that to us. He still does. In fact, we're under a much better covenant. He not only speaks to us face to face, He lives in us. That's better. Shub, I don't have to wait until I see Him. Wow, felt that. I don't have to, He's there all the time. Amen.
Wow, just getting caught looking at that page. I'm going to keep going.
Says, before I formed you, womb, I knew you. We have to know God. That's our first step. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Once we know Him, once we're drawing near to Him, it's hard to go into the Holy of Holies without getting yourself cleaned up. You know what I mean? There's a consecration that happens as you draw near to God. The closer you draw near, it's not a struggle, guys, to get cleaned up. It's not a struggle to shake off habits that so easily beset you because you don't want them anymore. And you so easily, it's much easier to throw them off. If you're trying to struggle in your flesh without intimacy, I feel bad for you because that's hard. Go after the intimacy and the struggle ceases. And you'll see things drop off of you right and left. Just forget about everything else. Find a place in your house and go and spend some face time on the carpet. Draw near to Him. And you're going to see issues that you deal with. Whether it's, you know, issues the battlefield of your mind, lust, anger, whatever it can be. It's just the stuff changes as you're in His presence. And it's not hard. Our consecration comes as we're drawn closer into His presence. We remove obstacles that prevent us from hearing His voice. Remember we gave that example of you have the glass, the window, and that's your eye gate. Mm-hmm. And you've allowed all the stuff to come in. You see junk on TV. You see things you're not supposed to look at. You participate in things, and it's like mud being thrown up on your window. And then God has to get through that to speak to you. It's hard. We have a clean window, a clean soul. We can more easily hear His voice. And a voice of a stranger we will not follow. Stay away from things that defile and vex our soul. Ask the Lord to forgive us. You know what's so cool? Is that when you come back before the Lord and you ask for forgiveness, you're perfectly clean. It's like you're a virgin. Again. Spiritually, that's, you know, it's just so awesome. It's shame that will keep you from doing that. Sin is meant to bring shame, and shame is meant to keep you from going back to the cross and ask the Lord to wash you again. Whoa. Overcome your shame and just say, I'm going to go back to the cross anyway. And Daddy will come with open arms and meet you. Yes. He'll run to you. And He'll embrace you. There's no shame. There's no shame. We position ourselves to hear His voice by worship, meditation, and prayer. Developing a continual fellowship and relationship with the Holy Spirit and then listening. God's been really working on me about this, about the relationship with the Holy Spirit and how important it is to recognize that. You know, there's times I just feel led. I just pray only to the Holy Spirit. Walk out and say, Holy Spirit, this is me and you time right now. And Holy Spirit, just come talk to me. Just share what's on your heart with me today. And you know, Jesus died so the Holy Spirit could be with you. Mm. He gave His life for that. He gave His life so the Holy Spirit could live with you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives within you. Take advantage of that. This is what prophets and kings in the Old Testament dreamed of. Mike, I mean, could you imagine being in the Old Testament looking into the New Covenant and going, what would it be like when God lived in people? Oh my gosh! That's what we experience every day. I have a lot of scripture on all that. I'm not going to read them all, but they're there for you. I knew you. I consecrated you. And then I have appointed you.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Remember talking, I got to meet with Reinhard Bonnke. You know, in just in a decade, they saw close to 60 million souls get saved. Amen. 60 million. He was thanking God one day. And he said, Lord, thank you that you have chosen me to bring in this incredible harvest. Wow. He said, well, Reinhard, you weren't my first choice. I asked three other people before I asked you, but they said no. There's a verse that says out of Matthew 22 that many are called, but very few are chosen. Why? It's because the many that are called, only a few will say yes.
Yes, that's right.
Many are called. Many people are called to operate in a higher level of the prophetic than you're operating in now.
Good word.
Many are called. There has to be a yes when you say, Lord, yes, I'll lay down my life for this.
Come on.
God, I'm not going to let the wounds of my past stop me anymore.
Truth.
I don't care. I'm going to lay it down, and I'm going to run after this with all I have.
Thank you, Lord.
God, you've got my life. I'm going for this.
Thank you, Lord.
Those are the ones that answer that call. Those are the ones that are chosen. I said the calling of the office of a prophet is a calling. God has to call you to be in the office of a prophet. But I believe there are many people who are called to be prophets who are not. Because they said, I don't want to do that. Life, I got other things in life that I want to do. I got a business, I got a family, I got this and that. I'm not going to pay the price. There's people in here, I feel, that are called as an office of in the office of a prophet. And God's waiting for you to say yes. Lord, just stir us up, God.
Yes.
Father, I just ask for a conviction, Lord. To put aside every weight that so easily besets us. And there's times like you might have sensed that you started to run in this call and you ran and ran and you quit. And I want to call you back now in the name of Jesus. The Father's still calling. The call hasn't changed. He has not changed his mind. His anointing is still there on you. You know it. You know his anointing is still there. It says that the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth. He's looking. It's like he's the one that's anxious. It's like God is almost striving. He's on a quest. You know, when Isaiah saw him, first thing, who will go for us?
Whoa.
Who can I send? First thing out of the Father's mouth, that was the call. Many are called. Many are called. Not just in the office of a prophet, but evangelist, pastor, apostle, teacher. Many of you are called. We want to create here a safe place that you can stand up and say, I feel I'm called to this. And we want to help you. We wanted this to be a greenhouse where we birth. To be a prophet is a calling. To minister in prophecy is a gift. Prophecy is a gift. There's nothing you can do to earn it. You can't work hard enough to get it. A gift is free. It's free to each of us. It's free to you. When a person ministers in the gift of prophecy, the gift is the ability to prophesy. The words are the gift. When a person is a prophet, they are the gift. The fivefold ministry are gifts to the church. If you're a prophet, you're the gift. It says in Ephesians that Christ gave gifts to men. The gifts he gives us are other people. As we grow in the prophetic, we want to be humble. Our goal is to be known in heaven. not necessarily known upon the earth. Had this vision. Lord took me in this trance one time, went up into the heavenly realm, and I was in this great hall. And I was walking through this great hall, and there was angels in there and others from the great cloud of witnesses, and they bowed as I walked by. And I was stunned. I didn't feel comfortable with this. But it was just like this honor. Honor. There was such honor in that place. And as I looked down, there was cuts on me. And in those cuts, though, they were sealed with gold. And the gold shined. What those cuts were wounds that I had received in churches and stuff. When people had said things against me. I'd been hurt. Things didn't work out. And our spirit, we suffered. We get wounded. But you know, when you suffer for the sake of the gospel, you could be wrong, but your intentions were right. Maybe your actions weren't quite right, but your heart was. Maybe you were immature, you were young in the spirit. Didn't matter. But God knew your heart. And He has sealed those cuts with gold. And just as the marks are in the Lord's hand still, and on His feet, so are the wounds you've received from the gospel in heaven. And what is viewed as shame upon the earth is viewed in great honor in heaven. It's completely opposite. We need to be humble as we walk. We walk with humility, knowing that, you know, it was like, I heard Bill Johnson talking about this the other day. We just had that terrible tsunami that hit Japan, right? People have had prophetic words about that, about tsunamis. I've heard prophets give really bad predictions about this country and things, and they'll go out and put this stuff in print, right? And when it comes to pass, they can say, "Ah, I prophesied that.
There you go.
I was right." But actually, what the Lord was doing was trying to warn them. Was trying to warn them. Would it be okay with you, as a prophetic person, if the Lord gave you a warning for your city, and you went into your prayer closet, and you warred successfully, but no one else found out? I want to be known in heaven, guys.
That's it.
I want to be known in heaven. Teachability. We need to remember that we see in part. We need to rest the body of Christ. God's really beat me over the head with this. It's that I only see in part. We need each other so desperately. So desperately. It says, let two or three prophets speak and the others pass judgment. Why do two or three prophets speak? Because they're each getting a part. And it all comes together. Patience. If you want to grow in prophetic, you've got to learn patience. It says, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. Sometimes you'll get a prophetic word for a person, and you'll expect them to react on that word. And you may get offended if they don't. But they may need two or three witnesses to confirm that first. Our job is to bring the mail, not to open it for him. It talks in Matthew 10:41. He who receives a prophet in the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. There's two parts to this. If you receive a prophet, if someone comes up to you and says, God has called you to the world, called you to the nations, et cetera, and that's your prophetic word, there is something to receiving that. You receive that prophetic word. You know, we talked about before the seeds and the parable and how you water seeds and how to grow seeds. If you receive the word that the prophet gives you, you also receive the anointing to accomplish that.
That's good.
That is a prophet's reward. I not only want the word, I want the anointing for that word to come forth. And if it's an action word on my part, I want the anointing to do it. Now let's look at it on the other side. If you are the prophet, if you are the person given the word, what is your reward? You know, I've been overseas and here too, but when we have these evangelistic campaigns and you're operating in the office of an evangelist, your reward is clear. You preach your heart out, and then you give that altar call. And then you see people rush that platform to get saved. Wow. I'll stand up on that platform and go, I would pay to do this. This is just so beyond cool. There's a reward in that instant gratification of seeing the fruits of all the labor you put out, those fruits come back. But as a prophet, when you get prophetic words, you don't always see that. There's some words that you may give someone, it may take 20 years to come pass. That's why some of the prophets I know are some of the most insecure people I've ever met. Because you can be isolated. You can be lonely. You're in there, you're hearing from the Lord. Then you go out and give this word, and you don't see it come to pass, because it may be 20 years off. You go back, you pray and pray, you get more words, you go out and give the word. You don't see it come to pass. What is your reward? To last in this, to run the race to the end, to finish strong. Our reward has got to be, we are the ones that hear from the Lord. We are His friends. We are the friends of God that receive revelation. That is a reward in itself. Put your reward in the intimacy with God. You will be able to run your race and you'll finish strong. To really grow in the gift of the prophetic, gift of prophecy, you have to learn to practice. It says in 1 Timothy 1, do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed upon you by the laying on of hands. Take pains with these things and be absorbed in them. Take pains and be absorbed. You ever have to work out? You ever try to lose weight? It hurts. I'm getting ready to do it again. Believe me, it hurts. Going to the gym, being on the treadmill, lifting. You take pains at it, right? You work it. You go at it. The prophetic is like that. You absorb yourself in it. If there's a stirring within you, there's a desire to really go to higher levels in the prophetic, Paul says, absorb yourself in it. Just wrap your arms around it. When I had that first stirring within me, I said, you know, I think this is in me. You know, I would see other people. I would see Harry Kate with Faith. That girl provoked me like crazy. I would, Mary. You provoked me. Because I would look at her and say, it looks so easy when she does it. I don't get nothing. I started going to every prophetic conference I could find. I read every prophetic book I could find. I hung around with every prophetic person until it rubbed off. I absorbed myself in it. But the desire was there to do it. That's why I said, check your heart. Where's the desire? What's God stirring within you? You go after it. The violent, take it by force, guys. Many people misunderstand. It comes through practice. Accurate prophetic ministry comes through practice. And, you know, many people have problems with that. We have to practice the gifts. We do not practice so the Holy Spirit can improve the gifts. We practice to improve our ability to flow with what the Holy Spirit is doing. We have got to learn to flow with what the Holy Spirit is doing. That's where the practice comes in. I have to practice quieting myself. Even in the noisiest and busiest situations, it can be on the street. I can walk up to someone on the street and there's cars that I can instantly just quiet myself and, Lord, give a word for this person. And just tap into the flow when it comes. The biggest thing that I found in the prophetic of growing in it is just to ask. You don't, we don't get more prophetic words because we're not asking. Every time you go meet someone, part of this practice, you go somewhere. You're going to the store. Lord, give me a prophetic word. Do you have a prophetic word for a person this day? And you keep asking and you keep knocking. You'll be amazed at what the Lord does in your life. Absolutely amazed. We have to take pains with it. What God was telling Timothy was to go beyond his comfort zone. If you want to get more accurate, you have to take risk. You have to stir it up. You have to go out to where you do not feel comfortable. In fact, I believe that's where Jesus had the disciples most of their time. Walking on the water, doing kinds of stuff. He always stretched them. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to stretch you. You allow the Holy Spirit to push you out of your comfort zone. Start, ask Him to do that right now. All right? You want to pray? If you want to pray this, you raise your hand. Holy Spirit, take us out of our comfort zone. Push us onto the edge, Lord, with You. We want to be on the edge. We want to walk on the water. We want to be out of our comfort zone. We want to take risk with You, Lord. Mm. Taking risk with Him is so cool. The more you practice, the more you'll learn the voice of God and how He speaks to you. We've talked about this in other classes. I mean, there's our voice, the voice of the enemy, and the voice of the Lord. The more practice you do, and even if you just get with a friend, you know, I have people we call on the phone. We practice prophetic words with each other. Okay, what colored shirt do I have on today? You know, blue. No. Call me back when you hear from God. Oh, man. Practice. As you practice, you start to learn His voice. But you have to determine in your mind to practice. Reach beyond your comfort zone. Some simple ways to grow into prophetic. I want it. A place of value on it. I become a friend of God, a son and a bride. Begin each day with listening and talking with God. I make a lifetime of soaking. I learn to quiet my mind. Renew my mind with the Word. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Sanctify my imagination. Become heavenly minded. I position myself for prophetic encounters. I make sure my motives for doing this are pure. I walk in the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I love above all. I believe in the works that Jesus did that I can do them. I exercise and I test my faith. I intentionally build relationships with prophetic people. I am teachable. I hold myself accountable to spiritual mentors. I become sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. I trust the voice of the Holy Spirit. And I'm obedient in the small things that He tells me to do. I've really tried to make it a practice in my life for that still small voice when I hear it. To immediately stop whatever I'm doing, put it down, and obey. trying to make it a practice that we're hanging out with friends, and I sense his presence comes. Come, I stop. He's here, God. He's here. He's manifesting. I don't ignore it. Don't take it for granted, because it's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This manifest presence would show up anywhere. The more I do that, the more he comes. And the stronger that he comes. Guys, growing in the prophetic is being a friend of God. There's techniques that we've talked about. You know, we'll continue to teach them. But the key is that you're a friend of God. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. This week, try to set aside some time as homework and go into that where you lock yourself away and just pray. I know that's hard, but maybe you need to get up an hour before work. But find a time. Don't read your Bible. I'm not talking about Bible reading. I'm talking about deep unto deep meditation. I listen for his voice. I pray and I listen. I pray and I listen. I pray and I listen. And I allow my spirit to connect with his spirit. Where he shares the deep things of his spirit with the deep things of mine.